Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The U.S. Coast Guard may briefly be unable to hear distress calls in Southeast Alaska for 3 to 5 minutes this week. The Coast Guard sent out a notice on Monday that they would be undergoing maintenance upgrades from Monday, November 3rd through Friday, November 7th, and this would impact receiving messages on the region's emergency VHF Channel 16. In a statement, the Coast Guard wrote, quote, "The VHF FM marine radio will not be downed the entire 96 hours. It will be briefly interrupted, lasting only 3 to 5 minutes, during a scheduled upgrade with that 96-hour time frame." They did not indicate exactly when that outage would occur. But the statement said that before beginning the upgrade, they would make sure no active search and rescues are in progress. If they are, the upgrades will be postponed until any search and rescues are completed. This upgrade comes as a competitive red king crab fishery is underway in multiple waterways in Southeast Alaska. The Coast Guard asks that any mariners in distress during the upgrade contact the nearest Coast Guard unit or contact the command center in Juneau. And for a quick look at weather, today in Juneau, it is 38 degrees and overcast. Tonight, a 20% chance of rain before midnight with some patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, it will be cloudy with a low of around 37 degrees. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain after noon with patchy fog before noon. Otherwise, cloudy with a high near 44 degrees. Thursday, expect rain as well before 9 a.m. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tenants living in Juneau's historic Telephone Hill neighborhood had until this past weekend to move out. But some didn't, and several are now suing the city to reverse the evictions. At the same time, city officials are discussing the next steps for the downtown neighborhood's redevelopment into newer, denser housing. KTOO has more. The city's November 1st eviction date for Telephone Hill tenants has come and gone. And now the city is laying out the plan for what lies ahead for the neighborhood.
It is really the only piece of property that is large enough to be able to support maximum density housing and really move the needle.
That city manager, Katie Kester, speaking at a Juneau Assembly Committee meeting Monday night. There, she and assembly members discussed what's next for the controversial redevelopment project. The discussion came just days after three tenants living on Telephone Hill filed a joint lawsuit against the city on Halloween, seeking to reverse the evictions. City leaders did not mention the lawsuit at the meeting. The plaintiffs claimed that the city improperly evicted people on the hill, illegally phased the redevelopment, and that the project fails to comply with federal and state historic preservation acts. Joe Carson is one of the plaintiffs. He's 80 years old, and as of Tuesday, hadn't moved out of his apartment on the hill.
They came and told me today that I have to be out by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I won't be.
He says he plans to fight the evictions and demolition as long as possible. He pointed out that the city doesn't have a developer lined up yet.
The idea is that at some point, someone will build something. Whoever, that's their idea of a project? I mean, what on earth is that?
The city's attorney, Emily Wright, says the city's law department is reviewing the lawsuit and plans to file a response shortly. She says the city believes it has no merit. All the residents on Telephone Hill were renters and had been since the state took ownership of the neighborhood in the 1980s. The state transferred ownership to the city in 2023. Then last year, the assembly voted to redevelop the neighborhood, to build denser housing on prime downtown real estate, to ease Juneau's housing crunch. The city wants to find a developer willing to build four mid-rise apartments, which could create an estimated 155 new housing units.
This is a unique gem that a community doesn't get an opportunity very often to have property so centrally located with utilities, with infrastructure in their community.
According to a 2024 assessment, Juneau is in immediate need of at least 400 new housing units. But the redevelopment project has come with a lot of pushback from local advocates. That's in part due to the history of the hill. It was home to Alaska's first commercial telephone service. All 7 structures on the hill are slated for demolition this winter. This past spring, the assembly approved spending $5.5 million to tear them down and prepare the land for new buildings. The assembly chose to front that cost in order to attract developers and tack on some affordable housing requirements. Kester says the city plans to select a developer early next year so that construction can begin in 2027. At the meeting on Monday, she spoke to the audience filled with advocates against the plan. She said the decision to redevelop the neighborhood is not an easy one, but added it has the potential to dramatically move the needle on the city's lack of housing availability and affordability.
Telephone Hill really does represent some of the most developable property well located in our community, and it's been really hard to struggle with those decisions, and so I just want to acknowledge that and share my empathy and appreciation for everyone who's been involved.
According to Wright, the city's attorney, as of Tuesday, tenants are still occupying 3 residences on the hill. The city plans to take legal action against those tenants this week. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And a controversial higher education compact from the Trump administration has sparked a petition from several University of Alaska unions who say they're worried about political overreach stifling academic freedom. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
Several University of Alaska staff and community members testified against the Compact for Academic Excellence in Higher Education on Monday, ahead of the UA Board of Regents meeting later this week. 659 people also signed onto a petition from unions representing faculty, graduate workers, and university staff that opposes the compact. Jill Dumasnil is a mathematics professor for University of Alaska Southeast and the president of the faculty union. She said in an interview that the compact ties federal funding to a political agenda.
It restricts the freedom to teach, research, and learn. It undermines institutional autonomy and self-governance. And it ties benefits, research benefits, to factors other than scientific merit.
The compact lays out requirements for universities to receive federal funding. Part of the compact instructs universities, quote, to seek such a broad spectrum of viewpoints, not just in the university as a whole, but within every field, department, school, and teaching unit, end quote. It also includes a 5-year tuition freeze and limits how many international students a university can admit. The U.S. Department of Education initially sent the compact to 9 universities, and most of them rejected it. In a social media post last month, Trump said any higher education institution in the country could sign on to it. Even though the UA Board of Regents has not made any move to accept the compact so far, Dumasnil says they want to make their voices heard on the issue. In February, the board suddenly approved a motion to scrub mentions of diversity, equity, and inclusion in a process that didn't give the public an opportunity to comment.
We didn't want that to happen again. So that's why we went ahead and told them what we thought. And that's all we can do.
Kate Quick works for United Academics at the university, but testified on Monday as an individual. She says the February motion had a chilling effect on people in the university and community.
When the compact came out, people started to say, oh, just wait, the board will be the first to sign. And so that's why this petition went around, and that's why people are calling tonight to ask you not to sign.
But Jonathan Taylor, the director of public affairs for the university, says the motion from February is different from the compact because it was based on a direct communication from the Federal Department of Education.
If there's a question as to whether or not the university needs to take action on particular direction or guidance changes or policy changes that have been made, we need to see those official communications to the university. Because that's what the standard practice is.
Taylor says the agenda for this week's meeting doesn't include discussion or action items on the compact. The board is scheduled to meet on Thursday and Friday in Anchorage. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And Alaska's state-owned Economic Development and Finance Corporation is committing another $50 million to the controversial Ambler Road project. Earlier this month, the board of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority unanimously voted to make the money available to support the 211-mile project, which would connect the Dalton Highway to an undeveloped mining region near the Brooks Range. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen has more.
The Biden administration nearly killed the project in 2024 by denying right-of-way permits for the project through federal land. ADA appealed in June. The Trump administration approved the permits earlier this month. Supporters of the project say that it will bring revenue to the state, hundreds of jobs to the region, and boost national security with critical and rare earth metals. Randy Ruaro is the executive director at ADA. He thanked President Donald Trump.
We now have our right-of-way and all federal permits. So we're proceeding forward as fast as we can to get some field work done and other geotech work, and look forward to eventually building that project and bringing unlocking resources for Alaskans.
ADA's resolution said the $50 million would be used for, quote, expenses and liabilities, including but not limited to payment for permitting, construction, legal costs, and other expenses. In public comments to the board before the vote, no one spoke in support of the resolution. Four people spoke against it. Maddie Hollerin noted that 88 tribal governments in Alaska and Canada opposed the project. She said the project would not benefit all Alaskans and that the money could be better spent.
It's an amount of money that could make a huge difference spent on other development projects inside the state that would provide more jobs for Alaskans and better outcomes for us. The $50 million belongs to us, the people of Alaska, and I'm hopeful we can find some other ways to spend something that large.
She's also concerned about rising construction cost estimates. ADA estimated the project would cost about $1 million a mile over a decade ago, or $211 million. Its latest estimate is over $350 million, though other estimates are much higher. It's not the first time ADA has funded the Ambler Road project. In 2020, ADA's board set aside $35 million for the project despite public opposition. In May, ADA tried to get the Alaska legislature to raise its debt capacity to $300 million for, quote, unspecified mining projects. The House Finance Committee rejected it. ADA says they hope to begin geotech work in the region this winter. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
And you are listening to K2O Juno 104.3. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in with us.